Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that means, how do we understand the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how do they work together, and how does that fit into who is Jesus? Well, let's begin by Moses and the Lord God. The Lord God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea down to Mount Sinai, where they all gathered at the base of the mountain, and God spoke the Ten Commandments in power and authority and gave them everything that they needed to do and gave them statutes and judgments that they should follow. They made a covenant with God, and that covenant was verified and ratified with the blood of animals. Half of the blood was sprinkled upon the people and half on the book of the law. Then God said to Moses, "Come up here to me." And so he went up to God, but so that there would be a witness, because God wants witnesses. And just like with Jesus, there were witnesses. And they were what? The 12 apostles. So here, with Moses and the children of Israel, God had witnesses. So let's read it. Exodus 24 and verse 1. "And he," that is God, "said to Moses, 'Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu,'" that is the high priest Aaron, "Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship afar off." Now, 70 is the number that they had in Israel all the time, who were the elders. Later, way late in Judaism, that became known as the Sanhedrin. Verse 2, "And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him." Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." They did it. Then, verse 9, "Moses went up, and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders of Israel," and notice verse 10, "and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were heavens in its clearness." So they saw God at a distance. Now this was very important to do so that the people had witnesses. Yes, we saw God. Now that becomes very important a little later with what Jesus said about seeing God. But we'll leave it at that for right here. Now, we'll see in a bit, no man can come directly in the presence of God when he's in his full glory. So God appeared to Moses much like another human being, to give all the instruction that he gave in chapter 24, 25, all the way through how to build the tabernacle, how to have the sacrifices, and all of these things. Now then, let's come to chapter 31 to understand who was the Lord God of the Old Testament compared to who was Jesus of the New Testament. This becomes very important to know, especially when we read some words of Jesus a little later. Verse 12, Exodus 31. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying," now here comes some of the most important section of Scripture, because this applies from that time forward in perpetuity. And you need to understand that. And this is a sub-covenant within the covenant of the Ten Commandments. How to do it? How to apply it? Verse 13, speak to the children of Israel and say, truly, that means in truth, you shall keep my Sabbath. Now, I want you to look at that. That's important because that is plural, because there's more than just the weekly Sabbath. Now, we've got occult holidays or God's holy days, all the holy days of God, which are Sabbaths. And you need that book, because if you keep the holidays of this world and you think they're from God, they're not. God says, my Sabbaths, he owns them, for it is a sign between me and you. A sign. How do people know if you're a true Christian? They can't tell by looking at you, but they can tell by what you do, because the Bible says you shall know them by their fruits. And what is the main fruit of true Christians? One of the fundamental things they do every week, they keep the Sabbath. Now, before someone says Jesus changed that, let me remind you, Jesus said in Mark the 2nd chapter that he is Lord of the Sabbath. So you need our booklet, which day is the true Sabbath of God, Saturday or Sunday? It's from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. That's how God measures time. Throughout your generations to know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Now, isn't it interesting? Do you think that you can be sanctified or made holy by keeping a day that God did not make holy? And you deceive yourself into thinking that, well, that's okay because the church does it.
There are various forms of the sun in St. Peter's Basilica, which is one of the most important buildings of the Catholic Church. The sun disk is around the head of the statue of Peter, and the image of the sun is inscribed above his head. Including the image of the sun glittering with gold in the center of the basilica, we can find various sizes of the sun image beneath the high altar and every spiral columns. Even the cross on the altar and the utensils used for communion and the priest's costume have the sun images.
Well, if the church doesn't follow the word of God, it's not from God. Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath. Now, this is the weekly Sabbath. So he's running the two together so you know there's more than just the weekly Sabbath. There are the annual Sabbaths. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. What does the New Testament say about sin? The wages of sin is death. And if you do not keep the Sabbath the way God says, in the time frame that God says, you're not truly keeping the Sabbath. Now think about that. You think, oh, well, that's law. True. And remember what James in the New Testament said? There's one lawgiver, and that is God. For whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Not immediately, but it will come. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath, and this applies to the church because the church is spiritual Israel. throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Now, what do you think that means? Perpetual means continuous, ongoing, as long as there is time, as we know it, on the earth. Is the earth still here? Yes, indeed. Heaven still here? Yes, indeed. What day should you be keeping? Now, the Christian Biblical Church of God keeps the Sabbath of God and the holy days of God. You want to know more about why that's important to God, what you should do, you write for our material. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Perpetual and forever. That means the Sabbath is always applying. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh he rested and was refreshed. And he gave to Moses, when he had made an end of speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written by the finger of God. Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? Directly from God. Now, during the 40 days that Moses was up on the mountain, the children of Israel got restless. And they really didn't believe God the way that they should. Remember, they didn't want to hear his voice anymore. So they came to Aaron and said, Aaron, up, make us gods. As for this man Moses, we don't know what happened to him. Maybe there's a volcano up there and he slipped and fell in and he's all burned up. I'm just paraphrasing a little bit here to make it a little more understandable. So make us gods. So what did Aaron do? He said, bring me all your gold and I'll make a golden calf. And he said, let's make a feast unto the Lord. A day different than God said should be, correct? And can you make an idol, which God says don't make, and come before the Lord on a day that God says don't do it, and say you're doing it to the Lord? No, indeed. You're doing it to Satan the devil. Now think about that. Now you may say, boy, you're sure harsh. Well, you may think that, but do you want to meet God face to face and tell him why you reject his word and why you think you're better than he is to keep what you want to do? Huh? What do you suppose is going to happen to you? Well, God has a nice lake of fire waiting for you. And it's so hot, you're dust and nothing flat. Now think about that. Now you say, boy, you're harsh and cruel. Really? How has all the religions of the world done for mankind down through history? Death, destruction, misery, war, plague, intrigue, politics, false teachings, worshiping of Satan and demons. Huh? Isn't that what happened?
Woe unto thee, O Israel! You have sinned a great sin in the sight of God.
Well, what happened here? Moses came down, he heard all the noise. Joshua came down with him because he waited below. And here they were, having a sex orgy or a rock concert today.
They were as children who had lost their faith. They were perverse and crooked and rebellious against God. They did eat the bread of wickedness and drank the wine of violence. And they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And the people cried, "The graven image hath brought us joy." And they worshipped the golden calf and sacrificed unto it.
That's something. What do they do at rock concerts? They talk about sex and drugs. What do they do after rock concerts? They go and have sex and drugs, right? Well, here are the children of Israel doing virtually the same thing right at Mount Sinai, right in the face of God. So Moses got angry and he threw down the two tablets of stone and broke them in pieces. Because what good is the truth of God if you reject it? And then you think God is obligated to bless you. So think about that. Now then, something very spectacular happened. At the pleading of Moses, God forgave Aaron and most of the children of Israel. Those who were directly involved in the instigation of everything, he exterminated. And then he told Moses, "You come up here a second time." God told him this, verse 14, Exodus 33. "And he," that is God, "says, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, that is Moses to God, "If your presence does not go with me, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that you go with us, so we shall be separated, I and your people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Then Moses said a very important thing. Now, why am I going through this? Because this relates to the New Testament as well. Very important to know. Remember the conversations going back and forth between God and Moses. And he, Moses, said, "I beseech you, show me your glory." Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? Huh? Verse 19, "And he said," that is God, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have mercy to whom I will have mercy." New Testament doctrine as well, correct? Grace and mercy. Do you want grace and mercy? Do you do what God said? You have to decide. You have to choose. Continuing, and he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me. You shall stand upon a rock, and it will be, while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back parts, but my face you shall not see." That's exactly what happened. Quite a thing. Now then, Moses made two more tablets of stone to take up with the second 40 days. So he went up there, next chapter over, Exodus 34 and verse 5. "And the Lord came down in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." Now I want you to listen very, very carefully. Don't you think that forgiving Aaron and all the elders and all of those involved, except the direct instigators of the calf worship, that he forgave? Is that not grace? You better believe it is. Notice what he says, verse 6, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy to the thousandth generation." That's way beyond any of the generations of human beings. forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, that is, unless there is repentance. That's what the New Testament and even the Old Testament is all about. God always gives a chance for repentance. What about you and your life? Do you want the graciousness and mercy of God? Well, you got to repent. You've got to be baptized. You've got to keep the Sabbath of God and His holy days. Now, you might say, well, that's expecting a lot. Question, why then do you keep Sunday and all the holidays of this world? Isn't that a lot? Should you not repent of all of that as well? Do you want God to come and bless you and put His Spirit in you so that you can become a future son or daughter of God? Then you've got to come to grips with the reality of what God requires. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. That is of those who hate God. Look at some of the nations of the world that hate God, that have their false religion. Look at the things that they go through. Look at what their histories have been down through time. Cut off from God. Because their forefathers left God. When you're dealing with God the Father and Jesus Christ, you're not dealing with mealy-mouthed weaklings. You're dealing with the power of the universe and the source of truth and love and mercy and graciousness or death. That's what you're dealing with. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped and said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, I pray you, let my Lord go among us, although it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as had not been done in the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people in whose midst you are shall see the work of God, for it is an awesome thing that I will do for you. Then he says, he will drive them out. Why did I go through all of this? To prove one point in John, the fifth chapter, verse 36. Here's what Jesus said. Now he's talking to the religious leaders of his time. But he goes all the way back to Moses. We'll see that. John 5, verse 35, speaking of John the Baptist. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. The works that the Father gave me to complete, the works that I am doing, themselves bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Now, here's Jesus as a human being. We'll find out how he became a human being here next time. Verse 37, and the Father himself who sent me has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice nor seen his form at any time. And that means no human has seen that. So therefore, the one that they saw as the Lord God was the one who became Jesus Christ. There is the New Testament proof. So he tells them, and you do not have his word dwelling in you. Do you have the word of God dwelling in you? God wants to write it in your heart and in your mind, in your soul and in your being. for you do not believe him whom he sent. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are the ones that testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. No, they wanted it in their own political way, because they expected the Messiah to come and join them and praise them and laud them and drive the Romans out. But that's not why he came. Verse 41, I do not receive glory from men, but I have known you that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. Do you? Do you love God? Do you keep his commandments? Do you love him and obey him and think on him and do what he requires? I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me, but if another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How are you able to believe, you who receive glory from one another, and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Now notice verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, present tense, even Moses. So the writings of Moses apply continuously, in whom you have hope. Now notice the next verse. Very important. If you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. You cannot do away with the Old Testament, because the God of the Old Testament was the one who became Jesus Christ. Notice, if you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now, we've got a booklet entitled, Who is Jesus? It is an in-depth study with CDs. And we've got the Harmony of the Gospels. We'll send to you free. We'll send all of it without cost to you. An in-depth book that's all about the life of Christ. Everything that we have covered here, plus much, much, much more. And remember this. You can't treat these things as an interesting thing to observe or a hobby, or it's nice to hear the Word of God. You have got to act upon them. See? That's what Church at Home is all about, because you can do it in your home. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So till next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.